Good time to encourage you to explore your neighborhood, show your love for Toronto with Show Love T.O. You can reconnect with family and friends as well over a great meal with the Cafe T.O. and Dine T.O. Gather programs. Dine Together, get that? Rediscover Toronto's neighborhoods with more than 150 self-guided itineraries through Stroll T.O., Historic T.O., and Cultural Hotspot Tours. Also, you can enjoy the following. Re-energized streets and public spaces, murals, public artworks, lighting installations, projections, and performances with Artworks T.O., Big Art T.O., Love T.O., and Poems for Your Path. All of the details at toronto.ca/showloveto.
5:35 on a Wednesday, Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us to talk about a number of things. That's a lot of TOs, by the way. I imagine you have no whiteboard space down there at City Hall. All the ideas taken.
None left. I should tell you, I went out to open as part of the Artworks TO, a fantastic free art exhibition in the Cloverdale Mall today, done by some incredible artists. One has to do with that terrible Iranian plane crash, and they're just very moving pieces of art. One has to do with the souls of the some COVID victims who are actually shown in this really neat infrared photography thing. So people can go out there. It's free. It's in the Cloverdale Mall. You can do some shopping and see some art at the same time, and there's a vaccination clinic there, too, so you can do a three-for-one deal.
Let's start off with the following, as we find out that a man charged with the murder of a Toronto police officer has received bail this afternoon. The premier actually responding to this earlier today on Twitter. We're curious to get your thoughts.
Well, I mean, we're all still in mourning over the death of Constable Northrup, and I got a chance to get to know his family quite well. I can't myself imagine a circumstance in which an accused in a first-degree murder case would be granted bail. But we don't know why, and this is, you know, where the biggest fault, I think, lies here, is that the presiding judge made it what is thought to be seen as an extraordinary decision, but then placed it under a publication ban. And I think that's very troubling. I think that's wrong. And I think it's just one more reason why bail laws need to be reformed. We should know the reasons that lie behind a questionable decision like this.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. Last week, we had a News Talk 1010 exclusive with both a TTC commissioner and the deputy mayor of Toronto learning out at different times this year through the media that there was a near collision in the Toronto subway tunnel. This incident happened back in 2020. We talked about it a number of times and have talked about it a number of times. But how does it land with you that your deputy mayor is only learning about this on the radio while doing a program, you know, well over a year past the incident actually happening? That's got to be a little troubling, no?
Well, no worse than me finding out about it, I think, basically through the media as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, no, this has been remedied. I think that's the most important thing to note, is that at my request, after it was raised with me, I think, on your program, the TTC have now made it extremely clear that any kind of incidents like this, near misses, they call them, need to be publicly reported. And I called for that and wrote to the head of the TTC, and the commission has now said that's what's going to happen. My understanding is that the problem with this one is that it wasn't reported as a near miss by the operators, and only after it sort of somehow came up and the TTC administration pulled the video out and saw it, the video that's now been on TV. But look, this was not acceptable. I believe it has been fixed for the future so that they will be publicly reported even while the investigation is still going on, so that people will at least know, and that's the right thing.
Let's talk about the bill coming in. A lot of it, just for, if you want to talk about $400,000 roughly on fencing, we spent as a city nearly $2 million clearing homeless encampments in Trinity Bellwoods, Alexandra Park, and Lamport Stadium. We're talking about getting the grounds cleaned up. We're talking about manpower for all of those various cleanups. Is this one of those things where you figured that bill would come in around there and you've sort of prepared yourself for questions, or...
Well, quite frankly, when we were, you know, trying to clear the encampments, we hoped the bill would come in at zero for the kinds of expenditures that you're talking about, which were for a lot of, you know, police time and that sort of thing, because we proved in at least one of the encampments that you could clear the people and get them to safer indoor housing if the protesters didn't cause a confrontation. And the protesters in this case, you know, made it very clear from the outset they would attend at the parks to confront city officials and police. They even said that was what they wanted to see happen. So, you know, we had to spend $750,000, you know, fixing the parks from the damage done by the encampments. But look, the real bottom line continues to be the same. Encampments are unsafe, they're unhealthy, and they're illegal, and people cannot occupy city parks indefinitely. And so, you know, and this number is a big number. I agree with that, but it's also a lot less than the $600 million plus we're spending helping people who are experiencing homelessness. You know, which is almost double what we had to spend in 2019 because of the pandemic.
What do you say to homeless advocates on the other side of this argument to talk about the money that was spent to evict people from encampments and then say, okay, well, the city's saying that they're bringing people into safe indoor spaces, but there were 15 deaths inside shelters, city-run shelters, in the month of August alone, which I think the previous number was, the high number was 13 in May. They kind of juxtapose it to say, well, is it really safe, the places you're bringing them?
I can't speak to the number because I just don't know the number in my head for August, but I would say that there were deaths in the encampments as well from fire. There were hundreds of fires that, and other kinds of incidents the police and the emergency responders were called to, and I would just say that it people are going to be much safer indoors. Tragically, some of the deaths that happened in the shelters were from substance use problems, and that really reflects a terrible failing on the part of our support system for people who have substance use issues in their lives. So I just don't think it's fair for them. And look, the bottom line is we ended up spending that money only because they, the very same people that are telling you that, chose to confront the police. And had they allowed us to do our work, which we were doing the city's work, sitting down 20,000 times with the people experiencing homelessness and offering them various forms of indoor housing, including in hotels and places like that, then much of this could have been avoided, but they chose not to do that.
Some vaccination clinics happening this weekend, hitting the mall circuit, Yorkdale, Eden Center, Shops at Don Mills, Sherway Gardens, and Fairview Mall. We're seeing more and more of these. Is this working?
Well, yes, it's working, but you have to understand that the pace of vaccination, because we're now down to a group of people who have had a hesitation for one reason or another, so it's going to be slower, and it is. I mean, in the days when people were rushing and standing in lineups to get vaccinated, obviously the numbers were bigger, and we had the situation where there were lineups, and we had those big mass vaccination clinics going. Now we're down to literally having to knock on doors, having to put it in places like malls where people will happen by, and we did do the Days of Action campaign, which was in parks and places like that last weekend. We did 7,600 people. And so we're doing the same thing again, except with an emphasis on malls, but we'll be back in TTC stations as well and so on. And we are trying to make it as easy and as accessible as possible for people who haven't yet, got vaccinated or got their second dose. And we're at Eaton Center, Don Mills Shops, Sherway Gardens, Fairview, and Yorkdale on the weekend. And we're just going to keep trying everything we can because we need to get that number up to 90%. We're doing well as a city, don't get me wrong, but we just have to work harder now that we're at this last, kind of important 10% of people who have a reluctance or a hesitation for one reason or another.
I know the number, I think it was on Monday, the number was about 1,000 City of Toronto employees who were unvaccinated ahead of the mandatory mandate taking effect. What's the plan, first of all, to get those 1,000 people into the vaccinated category? And what happens if they don't?
Well, we said from the very beginning that no options were off the table in terms of, what is a fairly well spelled out disciplinary set of processes that can follow any, failure to comply with a city policy. And this is an important one. The first thing we're doing with 1,000 people is to get, people to declare themselves because there were those who didn't even declare whether they were vaccinated or not. And the second, as we've always said from the beginning, was to have an education program, which is not optional, to be educated as to the benefits of the vaccine and the drawbacks of not being vaccinated. So we'll go through and do all of that. And let's remember the first dose was supposed to be in people's arms, for city employees by the end of September, and the second dose by the end of October. So, we have some time to work with here, and we're just working hard to talk to those individuals and try to convince them that it's in the interest of their own health, the health of their fellow employees, and the health of the city as a whole, especially for people who have interaction with the public.
And if they still say no?
Well, I mean, as I said, no options are off the table. So, I don't want to start spelling out what's going to happen because that's not, first of all, my personal decision. But there are a whole range of options, and none of those are taken off the table.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, as always, we thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.